Well, hello again, and welcome to the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of British Columbia. If you're listening to this on the podcast, this is episode 179. So, welcome everyone. This is our first live show that we're doing. Hopefully it's going out loud and clear to everyone. And it's our first post-game show of the season as well, because the Whitecaps were in action tonight, playing out a 0-0 draw against Philadelphia Union in not the most exciting season opener we've ever had at BC Place. So we're going to talk about that tonight, along with a few other things. We've got a chat with new Whitecap, old Whitecap, Mauro Rosales. We're also going to take some tweets from listeners as well. So if you want to get in touch, tweet us at AFTN Canada. And we'll answer any questions you have about the Whitecaps season, the game tonight, whatever it is. I'm Michael McCall.
I'm Zach Meisenheimer.
And unfortunately, Steve Pander can't be with us tonight, so it's just going to be myself and Zach.
Wait, did he pass away or something?
I was going to say he's in a better place, but he's gone to Surrey, so I don't think that's really true. But you're stuck with us. We're going to talk for an hour. Hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours. I don't know. No one's on after us, so we'll just keep going until basically we fall asleep or you fall asleep or we get some tweets from you telling us to stop talking. But as we say, the Whitecaps season MLS-wise got fully underway tonight. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about the game on Thursday night. History in the making. Whitecaps 2, New York Red Bulls 0. 3-1 in aggregate, and the Whitecaps are through to the CONCACAF Champions League semi-finals for the first time in their history.
It was a great evening. It was a great performance, or a good performance, a great result. It was nice to see the side, the players, be able to follow up on what was a very respectable away draw in New Jersey. And it was nice to see them be able to get the job done. Of course, early goal made in Canada. You had Marcel DeYoung putting in a nice cross. You had some incredible composure with a near post run. Alfonso Davies stopping the ball, faking, sliding it home, and we were through. And it's great to be on to the next round of the CONCACAF Champions League. We have an uphill battle as we'll be playing Tigres eventually, but no, it was a great night. It was a fun night at BC Place. Only 14,000 people there, but I think the 14,000 that were there enjoyed themselves and had a really good time.
Yeah, it was an absolutely fantastic way to start the season. Good crowd. I mean, for Champions League, we've seen it elsewhere in the league that other teams just are not drawing. I mean, you saw it in the first leg.
We had a few more than we were in New Jersey.
Yeah, that wouldn't be hard though. I think there was a few more folk at some VMSL games over the weekend than what the Red Bulls got out for that leg, and it's disappointing because it is a fantastic tournament, and the Vancouver public, it has certainly caught their imagination, and that is a good thing, and. Lots of people, I mean, I threw this out and we wrote an article on AFTN about it. Is the interest there from the fans? The players understand the importance of it. They've talked about it a lot, what it means to make history for them. The fans, the general feeling is that they're not going to really fully appreciate what they've got in the competition until MLS teams are regularly beating the Mexican sides. And some folk are saying, even with that, not until an MLS team wins it. So, I mean, you're looking at the semifinals. Vancouver have got Tigres. And you've got Pachuca. My pronunciation's terrible. At the best of times for foreign stuff. They're playing FC Dallas. We could have an all-MLS final. We could have an all-Mexican final. We could have one of each. Before we can talk too much about that, looking at the performance on Thursday night, the most pleasing aspect, I think, for me from it was the fact that the Whitecaps didn't have their strongest lineup out there, but they got the job done. The hunger was there, and it was a solid team performance. Breck Shea coming in, just traded the weekend before, 14 hours it took him to get here. He's still trying to settle in and come to terms with the fact that he's just in another country, just out of the blue. And he came in and he put in one hell of a shift.
Well, and he, not only that, but he played in a position that he wasn't, I don't think he's played very often, and they weren't planning on playing him. The plan was to have Nico Mesquita play up front or just behind Kakuta Mane, but Nico's hip gave him a little bit of problem, and he had to pull out of the squad. And so that moved Breck Shea from the left side of midfield, put him up front as the lone striker, with Kakuta behind him or Kakuta with him, depending on if you want to call it a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-2. They called it a 4-2-3-1 in the information they sent out. And that brought in Marcel DeYoung to play wide on the left. And so it didn't go to plan, I think, what they wanted to do. But it came off really, really well with how Marcel played and the performance he put in and the assist he created. But Breck, yeah, Breck was respectable up front. He did a respectable job up front. In the game, we saw it again tonight, but in the game on Thursday, we played a lot of balls up to him in the air for him to win,
yeah,
or for him to flick on. And it wasn't necessarily the most easy on the eyes football, but it was effective enough on that day. And he put in a very respectable performance on Thursday. And again, tonight he was asked to do a little bit of the same, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah. One thing I will say just about Breck Shea tonight was his control really was poor. It was something that Steve and myself were talking about during the game. It's something he really needs to work on if he's going to be playing up front. But going back to Thursday, yeah, Nicolas Mesquita, he was training on the Wednesday. I was there at the training session. I didn't want to tweet it out because I really wanted to keep it quiet, not to tip off New York or anything like that.
That was good of you.
But he was playing. He was meant to start. And then after about an hour, he came out. And he immediately was sent back to the training centre. So he kind of knew that it was going to force a change of plans. But the guys did well. And the last sort of things we have to really talk about from Thursday, first of all, the performance of Alphonso Davies really caught the eye. And it's hard. You want to temper the hype. You want to temper the expectation. And Philadelphia tonight, they had a guy, their first ever homegrown signing, Jones. He was a guy that, again, there's expectations on him, and it's something I asked Jim Curtin about. And you do have to temper expectations for these guys. But everyone was singing Alphonso's praises. The composure that he showed for that first goal, first of all, let's talk about that. But to get the ball in the 6-yard box and to have the maturity and the composure at that age to look up, see that if he just takes a little step to his left, he's got room, and then put it past the keeper. That's phenomenal, and that's something that we've had a lot of older guys with the team that just can't do that.
Yeah, they totally would just slash at the ball, and yeah, it was a moment of maturity beyond his years, which, you know, is easy to say about Alphonso. But it wasn't just the goal. I mean, that's the thing, right? It wasn't just the goal he scored, the winning goal, the goal that put us through, the goal that won it for us. It was his overall performance, his work with the ball, his work off the ball. There was times where just even the runs he made when he didn't get the ball, which there's probably something to talk about there, but where he was in great positions throughout the night. His performance, for us as supporters, he was the man of the match by far.
This is something I talked about in the post-game piece that I wrote on AFTN as well, but there was two moments that really stood out for me at the end. The first one was when he was tearing forward and he was brought down. It was a free kick. And instead of, like, so many players would just have rolled around and just made sure that they were going to get the free kick, maybe got the other guy yellow, kill some time. But all he was interested in was picking himself up off the ground immediately, running towards goal and to try and get a second goal. Robbo mentioned it afterwards. And the second piece was later, just a few minutes after that, towards the end. Him and Montero, and we'll come to a little bit of that later on, but the link-up play and the understanding between them was fantastic. And he did so well to get himself in the box, make the position, and he looked up. And whereas we've seen it so many times with Kakuta Mane in the past, he would just have a shot. Alfonso looked up, saw Montero, picked him out. Montero couldn't do anything with it. He couldn't get his feet out the turf really to get the ball. But again, that showed maturity and a composure sort of beyond his years.
Yeah. And he's a high football IQ, right? Like you see him linking up with other players very well. You see him, his role in the team, you see him find his place in the team very well because of that. And, you know, he's just a joy to watch. He's a joy to have on our side and in our side. And, I think that, the one thing they've been trying to do with him is not let the hoopla get to too high of a level. And, you know, he started that game, started again tonight. The performance on Thursday, you know, there's articles being written left, right, and center about him and about that performance. And hopefully they'll be able to keep his feet on the ground, keep his head the right size, and that he'll be able just to continue to focus on the things he needs to focus on, his homework or whatever, and then just working all the work he's doing in training so that he can continue to develop this season, continue to grow, continue to mature, and continue to play a significant role in this team. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him for sure, because he is showing such maturity, because he is contributing. If this carries on, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out for him in the near future and in kind of obviously the long term as well.
And after his recent performances, a question that's been asked a lot on Twitter is, when is he going to be involved in the Canadian national team? And it's people want to rush these guys, and it's like they're already talking, when is he going to be involved in the senior team? He wasn't involved in the under-20 World Cup that was recently on because they want to keep him for the under-17. But the key thing to see here is he hasn't got his Canadian passport yet. So until he gets that, he can't be involved in any aspect of it.
Well, he can't be involved for the senior team?
He can't be involved in competitive action. He can be involved in camps. He can go away and play in camps, but he can't play...
Like in the U-17 qualifiers?
Yes, until he gets his Canadian passport.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's all... So that, I guess that's part of the reason why he wasn't involved with the U-20s. I think that the other thing about the U-20s is I don't think the Whitecaps would have let him go just because they wanted him to be ready for the Champions League. And so we've spoken about it before. I don't think there was any way that was going to happen. And so they just said, yeah, it was a technical decision. You know, you listen to Rob Gale talk, and it was a decision made at the technical director position, and there's been a change in that position since we last talked about it. But the decision was taken for him to play with his age group, and so hopefully he'll be eligible for the U-17s when their qualifying comes around.
So enough talk about what happened on Thursday. Let's talk about tonight's game, because we've kind of billed this as being a Vancouver Philly post-game show, so we should talk about it. And there isn't really a lot to talk about. It was 0-0. Whitecaps again showed some exciting spurts in attack. We'd hope to kind of bring you some audio from after the game. We might still be able to do that, but we kind of had to really rush up from BC Place to get here and haven't really got it all queued up ready to go. If we can do it when we're playing some of the other stuff, we'll play that kind of later on in the show. But basically afterwards, Robbo said he was encouraged by the performance. He said it was a good performance. He kind of says that most of the time anyway. But basically, he felt defensively, particularly, it's like chalk and cheese from last season. He felt this team last year and that kind of performance, they would have conceded. Whereas tonight, he didn't feel that they were in any danger of conceding at all. Not sure I would quite go that much, but they definitely had the better of the game. They made the running, they had their chances. They played a 4-4-2 formation, basically. But for me, the biggest thing that really stood out was there was no number 10 on the pitch, and the passes in the middle of the pitch is what completely let them down all night.
Yeah, it's hard not to reflect on this match and talk about issues in the midfield. But before I do that, I just want to say I agree with you, and it's great. There are some positives. We need to take some positives from this match, and we've had.
Robbo said that was another thing. It's like he used that phrase a couple of times. Lots of positives to take from it.
Totally. So like we've played three competitive games, and we have back-to-back clean sheets. We've only allowed one goal in those three competitive games. The first two games, same back four. Today we had two changes to the back four. I think
Shannon Williams came in for Jake Nowinski, the rookie, and I think that's kind of what we expected.
Yeah.
And then Kendall Waston was suspended after his shenanigans against Portland at the end of last season, so that gave Christian Dean his huge opportunity.
And that, to me, that was one of the positives from tonight, was Christian Dean getting in there, getting a start, and reminding us, at least in some ways, what we have in Christian Dean. We have a strong, big, powerful center back who's going to win some challenges. Obviously, I only see a little bit of the game, or don't see everything from the game. But there was a couple of times where I got to see him just like muscle guys off the ball, win the ball from them, and play it forward. So I think he's good in the tackle, or tonight he was good in the tackle. But also, I think it's hard not to say that he's got the most potential, or he has the most talent of all of our center backs in playing the ball with his feet. And there was glimpses of that, I think, in tonight's performance. So I think at the back we kept a clean sheet. It's great. And again, that was one of the things from Thursday's performance was we played so well defensively as an entire team, and not just the back four or back five or six, but the whole team was compact on Thursday and hard to break down. And I think we showed that again this evening.
With Christian Dean, he's a guy that it's impossible not to root for him. And maybe everyone doesn't know this. I mean, you'll know that he had his two injuries last year. He didn't play a minute last year. Tonight was the first start that he has made since August 29th, I think it is, 2015. He played 90 minutes in that game. His last MLS minutes were in October of 2015, where he came on as a sub, played 9 minutes. All of last year, MLS, USL level, didn't get a chance to play. He was playing really well pre-season. Then the week before the season started, he picked up an injury at training. That ruled him out till May. He was just coming back. I chatted to him first or second day that he was back. He was in such a good spirits. And he was saying he was feeling good. He was just dying to get on the pitch. And then 2 days later, second injury, and that was his season ender. So most people know that. What a lot of people probably don't know is that his father also passed away in the summer. And he spoke a little bit kind of about that after the game tonight. He said he was in some dark places. And, I mean, that's so understandable. It's something that anyone that's experienced that knows just what kind of levels it takes you in. He was really close to his dad, but he said that the Whitecaps, the coaching staff, the teammates especially, and his mum particularly, really helped him get through it. He's now back. He's eager to go. He was on the pitch today. He was a rock at the back. And he said he had a little bit of butterflies before it started, but once he was there, he was phenomenal. And there was one play in the first half in particular, where you thought the Philly guy had got by him.
That's the one I was talking about, yeah.
And then he tracks back, and then brilliant play. But this was a huge night for him, because this was his chance to show that he He wants to prove to Robbo
he deserves minutes.
He deserves minutes. He wants to repay his faith in him as well.
Yes.
And he wants to show that he belongs at MLS level. And he did that tonight. And the thing I loved most about it, which, again, if we get a chance to play the audio, we'll play that. But he said he's come into this season wanting to challenge Kendall for his place. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Christian Dean has such an incredible attitude. Like, he's one of the guys. There's a number of guys in this side who have the right attitude that you want them to have. And Christian is one of them. Because he wants to fight. He wants to battle for his place. But he's also an incredibly supportive teammate at the same time. And he's, mentally strong. Yeah, the last season was, we used to get to talk to him while we were setting up in the stadium. And he'd be having to do laps or having to do all these exercise and stuff. And you could see some of the times that were more difficult. And you could see him, chomping at the bit to get back on the field, to kick a ball, and then not just to kick a ball, but to actually play. And, and including his attitude, I think sometimes as supporters, as fans of the club, it's hard because you look at things like, what is a player making and what does that look like? And I think
that generation Adidas Tag, that it was like a millstone around his head.
Yeah, but only for... Not for him, you know what I mean? Like he always had such a good attitude about that, right? Like for him, this is not about the money. This is for him wanting to, pay back the coaching staff's faith in him and the club's faith in him. And he's not like a. If you hang out with him, he's not like this greedy dude who's just like out for, he made his money in those GA years and he just wants to make sure his next contract is the most. No, he wants to perform and he wants to repay the faith that's been placed in him.
And we'll talk about some other aspects of the game tonight in a few minutes, but read a couple of tweets that we've had so far. The first one from @A1SportsJunkie with hashtag FreeGoldobin. That is his username. He said it was a bit disappointing tonight, but there was some decent vital signs and it might actually have a potent bench this year, which is something which the Whitecaps didn't have in the past. But he was talking about Dean. He said Dean stepping up to fill Edgar's void is nice. A couple of other tweets that we've got. Steve Panders actually tweeted us, so he might not be with us, but he's here in spirit.
Is he at work?
No, he's not.
It's not a work. Okay.
He is tomorrow morning, which is the main reason that he's not here. He said that with the lack of a cohesive midfield, the Caps are going to have to use their width and to try and get anything going in the attack. And he also added then that the confidence level for Christian Dean after tonight's match, it's going to be huge. And I think going forward, there's going to be an exciting battle at the centre-back spot. But before we do any more tweets and before we talk to any more listeners and speak to some stuff about the game tonight, we're going to play some messages. As we said, this is our first live show, so this is the first time of us properly using this system. Whether you hear any of these things or not, who knows? This is going to be exciting for everyone. So just bear with us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes after these messages. Stolen glue that hold nothing together, and is this under which lie inside the animal lapses to opaque visions like a mongoloid's. But he goes waiting for a vacant stage to void it. So as you heard, that wasn't an ad. That was a really good song, though. That was Sky Scratchers by Johnny and the Moon. So I actually really enjoyed that. I have no idea how to play these ads in PSA, so let's just continue on with the show. Right, let's get back to talking about the game.
Wait, could we do our own PSAs?
Well, we could do. Actually, one thing we will mention is next Sunday, Our show is going to be a little bit different. CITR Radio do a fun drive every year. It's their biggest fundraising event of the year. And it's through donations, and it's this that keeps this community radio station alive. Community radio is a fantastic thing. The way that the state of the media is these days, things are dying all over the place. Journalists are getting laid off. Places are shutting down. Something like community radio is vital just to kind of, first of all, give new talent like ourselves. Yeah, we're talent. To give new talent like ourselves a voice, and to take shows like ours to a different kind of thing. It starts on the 9th of March, and it runs for, I think it's about 12 days. So only one of our shows falls into it, so that's going to be next Sunday. So we're going to be bringing you a special wavelength edition of the show. And what that's going to be is just playing a lot of our favourite football tunes, chatting about the fun drive and just trying to get some donations from listeners just to kind of help CITR Radio going. So listen out for that. Check citr.ca. Check their Facebook page and Twitter as well, and you'll get lots of stuff about that.
Well, that was a good PSA.
Yeah. So we could do our own PSAs.
You're great at this.
Yeah. There's a couple of fun ones I can play as well. But I don't know how to play them. So we'll work on that. And hopefully the next time we do that, you're not going to hear lots of music playing. Anyway, let's get back to talking about the football action. So an interesting thing from tonight is people's perception of it, perhaps from outside of Vancouver. So I write for MLSsoccer.com. And my piece that I filed after the game tonight was about Christian Dean. And the fact that the Whitecaps have had two clean sheets now in the space of 4 days, fantastic, everything like that. But there is kind of a perception out there as well, really, that the Whitecaps didn't score tonight. So it's the goal-scoring woes back. And it's, I don't know, folk that are saying that, it's a little bit kind of hard to take. Going to some of the tweets that we've got a good one here from @JustCapsThings. He wants to know, will the Whitecaps midfield be sorted out when Reyna and Bolaños return, or do they need some more help there before the transfer window shuts?
I think it's obvious that we are looking to add something to our midfield. I would be surprised if we weren't still looking to improve that. Reyna, it's going to be months as we're waiting. Bola, it could be as soon as the next match that we see something from him. So help is coming down the road, and I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this season between now and July, if we don't have another midfielder here. But it is, I mean, we talk about this post game as we sat around the pub. I mean, when you play a double shield where both players are destroyers, or both players are predominantly about breaking up play and passing on to other players who are more creative. If you lack creativity in one of those two central midfield roles, or both of them maybe in some ways, then your options are limited. And right now it's kind of like, it looks like we're trying to create everything from dynamic wingers or from strikers or forwards who are going to be able to create for themselves. And yeah, I guess you could say we've had a little bit of success, although, you know, talking about, you know, these three competitive games, we've had three goals, two of them have come from set plays. And so it's a little bit, we're lacking, I think we saw it today very clearly, we're lacking some creativity. We're lacking the ability to create some chances. I know, looking back on like last year or whatever, it was, the issue was, we weren't finishing our chances. We created lots of chances, and we weren't finishing. Today, it felt like we didn't create enough. And so, yeah, I would not be surprised to see some kind of midfield help. Look for Bola to be back in the very near future. And yeah, it would be interesting to see what Jordy Reyna can bring to the table when his metatarsal's healed and he's fully rehabbed and ready to go.
Another tweet which we had, which is an interesting one. when Eric Hurtado was named as the starting striker tonight, I could just imagine the reaction of certain people, because it's like, Hurtado starting, Montero's on the bench. What is Robbo thinking about? And, I mean, Eric put in a shift, but he was never... He was awful. I can't think of a better word.
Okay, but again, I don't... It felt like he was feeding on scraps. You know what I mean? Like the service...
He was, but as a striker, you also have to create your own scraps. You have to cook your own dinner. If we're going to start using food metaphors.
You're making me hungry, Michael. I hear what you're saying. I really appreciate Eric Hurtado. I really appreciate his effort. And like we've talked about in the preseason and even in and around the game in New Jersey, I think there's a lot that he's done to continue to grow and develop his game. I think Robbo thinks he has a role to play this year. And tonight, yeah, it didn't result in a goal. It didn't result in a win. But I think we're still going to see him as a part of the team. And I think you know, moaning on Twitter or wherever, that's fine. But I hope that Eric will be supported when he's playing for us on the pitch.
One of the tweets we've got here is from @SSmithC92, Spencer. He says, talking of Hurtado, since he's an ineffective striker, do you think Hurtado could be turned in to a central midfielder or a CAM, an attacking midfielder?
No. I think, and we've done this with him in the past, I think Eric's abilities and especially his pace, you can play him wide in midfield, or you can play him on the wing, sort of thing. I don't see Eric playing a role in midfield, and I don't know that he ever has at any level or any point in his footballing career. Do you know?
I don't think so. I think he's always been a winger or an out and out striker. We know that once Montero's fit, Montero's going to start, and I think that towards the end of the game tonight, the lineup that we saw on the pitch is pretty much going to be the lineup that the Whitecaps are going to have as their first choice. I think going forward, I wouldn't really be surprised if Shannon Williams kind of keeps his place in the team, but he didn't do anything to completely stand out tonight. So, I mean, him and Nerwinski, they're pretty level. And if anything, Nerwinski actually offered a little bit more going forward. I like Jacobson and Laba as the two DMs. We do have a kind of comment on Laba on Twitter here from John Humphreys @LWO04. He wants to know, would you drop Laba to open up build-up play options?
I've already talked with John lots about tonight's performance after the match, but yeah, I know
that does not help the people listening at home.
I'm not surprised he says that. I don't think dropping Laba is going to happen, just because of his role in the team and, you know, where he fits in with our, you know, in the salary structure. So I don't see that happening, but it's more what's going to be played next to him. So yeah, Rusty, put in a performance in the two quarterfinal matches for the Champions League. AJ played tonight. I know some people, you know, reading some stuff and hearing some stuff, some people felt he was too safe and too with his passes, but also with maybe his positioning and not getting forward. I need to rewatch the match to kind of evaluate that, but. I can't see Matias being dropped. I can't see Maddie being dropped from the side. Can you see him being dropped?
I can't see him being dropped, but that's not necessarily to say that I don't think that he should be dropped. I'm concerned.
So if you drop him, right,
in two games,
right, fair enough. But if you drop him, who's going in? What does that look like?
Yeah, like right now, the thought of dropping him is kind of terrifying because Russell Tybert can't do what he does. Andrew Jacobson could, maybe, but he is probably still our best defensive midfielder.
Yeah, I think
so. If we bring in somebody like Atiba Hutchison, though, in the summer, I have him over Laba. I'm happy with Atiba starting on his own. and looking at a different formation.
Yeah, I think, again, was talking with some people about this evening, but bringing in Atiba, I think some people think, well, just solve all of our problems, and all of a sudden we'll have this dynamic midfield. I don't really know that that could happen, yes, but I don't really know. I don't really feel like that's where Atiba's strengths are. Atiba's strengths are playing the smart, simple pass. You know what I mean? Like, he has a high football IQ, but he's not necessarily like your huge creative playmaker in the middle of the park. But yeah, I agree, dropping Laba would feel, if you're dropping Laba in the way things are set up right now, you're putting it in Rusty. So you have Rusty and AJ. Again, you still have a double shield, unless you're really encouraging one of them to go forward. I don't really know what the difference is. Obviously, yeah, like you said, at some point he's going to collect enough yellow cards, and that's going to have to happen. Tonight's yellow card was harsh, it felt like. Tonight's yellow card was difficult to take. It was one of those – I think he picked it up for encroaching on a free kick, right? Yeah, that's those
– that's the thing, though. He does take really stupid cards, and he also does do really stupid tackles,
I think,
especially
that,
slight tackles.
I think that was like in response to the quality of officiating, though. I think they were not too happy with that free kick given.
Yeah.
You still shouldn't do that.
Well, happy with that official at the best of times. Of course, the guy that was in charge tonight, Stoica, was the guy that sent Carol Robinson off last season against Red Bulls.
And why was the referee changed?
I know.
Looking forward to Alan Kelly.
I was saying to Steve when we were watching the game, I was like, oh, I'll be good. I was like, he's not as good as usual. And he's like, Stoica. I was like, that's not Stoica. And I was like, oh, it is Stoica.
Yeah. I accidentally called him. The referees came in. I was like, I knew Alan Kelly was coming. So I said, hey, Alan Kelly. And they all looked at me like I was an idiot. And I realized, well, that Alan Kelly's not here. Question about midfield?
Yeah.
So question from Twitter about the midfield from Gideon, at GideonHill12. Question about where do you see Kakuta fitting in this season? So we have additions like Shea and Bola. We have guys here like El Bicho and De Young, who can play on the left. And Gideon mentions that Kakuta didn't look good in a second striker attacking midfield kind of role tonight. So where do we see Kakuta fitting in? I think he's being played centrally to minimize his defensive role in the side. Right, because when he's on the left,
he doesn't track back. And if you watched Alphonso Davies a couple of times tonight, his track back game
has grown,
has really, really improved.
Because he wants to keep playing there.
Yeah, and he's doing better than Kakuta does in that regard.
Yeah, he's younger and more maybe moldable in that sense. But so I think Kakuta's being played centrally, so he has less defensive responsibilities. I don't see him, whether it's 4-4-2 or he's, you know, in the three of the 4-2-3-1. I will never see you can't call him a 10.
No,
you can't. He's not.
I don't like him playing centrally. I hate him playing as a 10 like he did in Wales. If you could call that a 10 role that he was playing, he has to be out wide or up top, one or the other.
Yes, he's got to be up top, I think.
Even like just feeding in a little bit behind Montero. Maybe even if he's not on the wing, but just a little bit more, not total central, but kind of in between the center and the wing, just a little bit off Montero could be exciting.
When I think about Kakuta, it's hard not to be nostalgic and seeing him play in a 4-4-2 in that little fishing village in Middle Cascadia with another little striker next to him who just set him up all night long and he buried three goals. So it's hard not to, I think that's why some people also feel that centrally up top as a striker is where he belongs.
You also have to worry about his health, because when he went down at one point tonight, it looked bad, and he definitely had a limp for about 5 minutes afterwards, running and walking, and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I was like, okay, does he need to come off a little bit? Yeah, I felt that as well. But I think teams know that, because they've talked kind of publicly about where his issues are and what they are. And to me, having seen the replay of that, I think that tackle was very intentional. A little like, I'm going to kick you where I know it might hurt you.
And I think he's going to get a lot of that this year. And Alphonso as well, they're going to try and rough him up. So we'll come to more questions in a little bit. You're listening to the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio, 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of British Columbia. So we're going to try and play these ads again. I think I've worked out what to do. If not, we'll hear some decent music. So let's just see what's going to happen, and hopefully we'll be back after these messages.
My media, sunny side up.
Shape your media just the way you like it by supporting CITR. Every year, we ask listeners, readers, friends, and family to support CITR by donating to our annual fund drive. It keeps the station running, and it helps us take on new projects. This year, CITR is looking to help our community shape their media by fundraising to provide new training sessions in current affairs journalism, giving creators new skills to shake up the media landscape. Thursday, March 9th at 12 p.m. to March 16th, we're opening up our phone lines old-school telethon style. Call in during your favorite programs to hear about the special prizes each show is offering. You can support CITR and Shape Your Media by making a pledge. You can also make a pledge now online at www.citr.ca/fundrive. How do you like your media, John?
Spicy. Is that good?
Thank you.
Wait, hold on.
I think
Keegan also said spicy. Can I say something else?
Mm-hmm.
No, can you ask me a question again?
How do you like your media?
Well done. But that's not like what CITR is, more like a rare steak.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
You're listening to the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio. So, before we do any more chat, I'm pretty sure you're sick of listening to us right now, I'm going to play you a little bit of audio that we got during the week. Mauro Rosales, back as a white cap. Bit of a surprise when he kind of just suddenly appeared at Whitecaps training on Monday morning. I'm glad that he's back. We needed a kind of veteran presence in the locker room. He didn't play any minutes tonight against Philly, but was on the bench. We're going to hear from Mauro in a little bit, but before we do that, Zach, just what's your thoughts on him being back in Vancouver? Saw you give him a big hug after the game on Thursday night.
Was it a big hug?
It seemed a big hug. A
comfortable
hug. But.
Yeah, I think you give everyone a big hug. No, I think Mauro's been brought back to do a couple things. One is to, he's an experienced winger, and we have some young wingers who could use some encouraging words and some encouragement on how to play. And so I think when you bring in someone like him with all that he's been through and the places he's been and the things that he's done, it's good for that. I think secondly, he's also been brought in to help our one-year loanee, Colombian loanee, settle, someone he knows well. someone he has a deep relationship with. And so I think he'll help him settle and get acclimatized to the city and be a part of the team. So I think those, and then he will be, he will play a little bit. I know some people are talking about, you know, it's like Pamutaka last year. Is he like Earnshaw? Is he like Blas Perez? You know, will he be that guy who only plays like 3 or 4 times a year? And you're
he's going to play a lot.
I don't think he can play. I don't think he can play a lot. Did you watch him last year in Dallas?
Well, when I say a lot, he's going to feature in a lot of games, but maybe just some cameo appearances.
Right. Okay.
Those games.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think I would be surprised if he starts more than 3 or 4 or 5 games.
I think he's there as an emergency.
Yeah.
Right now, and he'll be used as a potential game changer. I would maybe have brought him on instead of Mosqueda tonight, just because of the fact that he had been playing with Dallas preseason, and he was, I think, in better match shape than Mosqueda was.
Well, with all these similar haircuts, I turned to someone and said, oh, Mauro's coming on. And they're like, you're blind, it's Nico. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
So let's hear from the man himself just now. So as I say, I caught up with Mauro at Whitecaps training on Wednesday. And we just had a chat about a number of things. Why he's back in Vancouver? Is he looking to get into coaching? And just how well does he see this Whitecaps team doing this season? So let's hear now from new Whitecaps, old Whitecaps, midfielder Mauro Rizalis. To a lot of folk, it's a big surprise that you came back, but you look really happy to be back. Everyone seems to be really happy to have you back.
Yeah, of course. When I had a chance, not too long ago, just a few days, to be back in the team with the boys, having this opportunity, I didn't doubt it, because it's a club that I like it so much, that I love it, that the fans always treat me great. The support is phenomenal. The organization, the staff that they're always behind me. So that is perfect. Perfect timing also to come, because I was almost signed in Dallas for one more year. Yeah. And I had a fantastic year last year, winning the Open Cup and the Supporters Shield as well. And I came here just to help like I did last time. And I reunited with a few new guys, with also players that played with me back in 2015. And happy to be here again. Surprising, like you say.
Yeah.
But I'm here, and I'm pushing to the guys to the best, you know, trying to make a good team for this season. The team is facing a phenomenal opportunity for them in CONCACAF, for the club, for the city. So hope we are lucky and pass to the next round, so I can help a little bit more, because I played for Dallas in last CONCACAF. Yeah. So.
And you, when you were here the last time, you did a lot of work with the younger guys.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, as you're getting on in your career, coaching something that you're maybe thinking about, is that definitely something you want to go into an actual, whether here or wherever, you want to go into coaching?
Actually, I'm still not thinking about what I'm going to do next. I'm just thinking and be a better player, try to teach the experience what I had in the past with my career to the young ones, also to the ones that they had experience with games. But if I can just help in some movements that we know that it's going to help the team to become better, I will. And obviously trying to be behind the it's a quality young team, and they need, probably when I was young, I needed somebody to teach me some movements or some stuff in the game that it will help me to get better. So I will do this, and I'm not trying to be in their position, but I will push them to the best, and they will become better. I will become better as well. So this is the team. This is what the team needs. So we're trying to build a tough team to beat, and a team that how the same like we did in the past, being a successful team. This is what all wants. So trying to do that.
And one of the guys that wasn't here when you were here before, of course, is Alfonso. I know Robo particularly wants to kind of get your experience and share stuff with him and bring on his game. What have you seen from him? And obviously, you don't want to hype him up too much, but what do you see in him that you feel he can do in this game?
He has the potential, and physical is perfect for him, and he's a strong boy at that age, and he can face any team here in the league, and having some support from somebody probably like me, probably like La Breck, that they has also experience, and also the staff, and we are all behind him to just try to help to become better, and this is what we need. If he's doing good, if he has confidence in if he become a better player, we are all benefit with that, because the team will grow, the team will be tougher and tougher, and I see a little Kekuta Mare in the back in the days, and just speed, quality, good with the feet, and also doesn't matter who he's facing, he will attack and he will try to do the best. So I'm happy to be here and be close to him, and I wish him all the best in his career. So he's doing excellent. I saw the game against New York, and he did very, very good things. So We all hope that he can keep it during the season.
Last year, the team struggled. There wasn't a lot of MLS experience really in amongst the squad. This year, though, yourself, Brick Shea, Freddy Montero, you've all done it in MLS. You've all succeeded at the high level. Do you see, from the little spell that you've had here, this is more like the team from 2 years ago, and you feel confident that the team can really do well this year?
Yeah, of course. I'm really confident. This is why I came here. Because I believe this team will be good, or at least I can see the confidence, I can see the willingness to become better, I can see the willingness to work hard and have a successful year. I think no one here want to have the same year like they had before. So we are here to work, we are here to help, and as you name few experienced players, we are all together to push Vancouver to the successful years that they had before.
That's great. Thanks so much, Mauro. Okay, really glad
welcome.
To see that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good to see you. Bye.
Talk to you later.
How do you like your media?
Raw.
Spicy.
Free. I like my sunny side up.
Shape your media just the way you like it by supporting CITR. Every year, we ask listeners, readers, friends, and family to support CITR by donating to our annual fund drive. It keeps the station running, and it helps us take on new projects. This year, CITR is looking to help our community shape their media by fundraising to provide new training sessions in current affairs journalism, giving creators new skills to shake up the media landscape. Thursday, March 9th at 12 p.m. to March 16th, we're opening up our phone lines old-school telethon style. Call in during your favorite programs to hear about the special prizes each show is offering. You can support CITR and Shape Your Media by making a pledge. You can also make a pledge now online at www.citr.ca/fundrive. How do you like your media, John?
Spicy. Is that good?
Thank you.
Wait, hold on.
I think
Keegan also said spicy. Can I say something else?
Mm-hmm.
No, can you ask me a question again?
How do you like your media?
Well done. But that's not like what CITR is, more like a rare steak.
You're back listening to the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of British Columbia. So, before the break, we heard from Mauro Rosales there. And yeah, I mean, we've discussed Mauro. Hopefully he is going to make a bit of an impact. I think when he was here towards the tail end the last time, he was starting to look a little old. His legs have maybe gone a little bit, but I think he is primarily here, although we addressed it there and he said he's not thinking too much about going into coaching. I do think that he is brought in primarily as a player coach. if anything but title, he's going to be doing that. At training this week, Robert Earnshaw was working with the strikers, Pamidou Kah was working with the defenders, and I think we're probably going to see Mauro doing similar stuff at the end of the normal training, just with the midfielders and the wingers. And then who knows, maybe he will retire in the summer when Reina's fit and transition into that. But as he said there, he's not thinking about that at all. So we'll see what happens. It just adds a little bit of depth and a little bit of experience to the Whitecaps locker room. And I think primarily he is going to have been brought in to work with Alphonso Davies. And an interesting thing that kind of came out over the weekend is there's an interview with Giles Barnes, Julia Binks. I can't remember. It's a double barrel name. I can't remember her first name. And Giles Barnes said that he was very close to Alphonso here and that Alphonso's taken it quite bad that he's gone to Orlando. Basically, the fact that Giles cooked for him and he drove him about and he's going to miss that. So, I mean, hopefully Mauro coming in can do something to maybe help bring the best out of Alphonso and have that kind of influence on him.
True, yeah. I think he has it's a huge opportunity to invest, and I hope we get to see the fruit of that in the short term, but also I think you'll see it in the long term.
So we're going to get back to some tweets. You know when you have an idea and you're like, yeah, let's just get people to tweet us questions, and then so many folk tweet them that you can't read them all, and you're trying to work out what controls and buttons to push at the same time. That's what's happening tonight, so I'm going to learn from that. Just a word as well, that when we do these live shows, we also have a phone line, but we thought that was maybe not a good idea to do on our first live show, but we'll hopefully do a live section soon. So just getting to some of the tweets here. Oh, as a way to read one from you there, just saying that we're on air, so there's not really much point in that. So we've got a question here from Joel Knutson, and he is asking, are we happy with the Whitecaps' six defenders? Why do we think that Williams started ahead of Nowinski tonight? Is it going to just be to rest Nowinski, or are we likely to possibly see that? And he wants to know as well, who does Carroll kind of put next? I'm not really sure what he means by that, but who's he maybe going to switch about or put in the defence next to try and freshen things up a little bit? Or are we going to see a bit of consistency? And is Williams going to be there next week in San Jose?
Well, I think, yeah, that is an interesting question. I think there's been a number of people, I think, who've questioned Jake more on the defensive side of things in those first two games in the CONCACAF Champions League. I think Williams is going to kind of be the steady kind of guy when maybe Robbo wants things a little bit tighter at the back, and maybe in games where we're going to have some, maybe there's going to be some more encouragement and influence for the fullbacks or one of the fullbacks to get forward, we might see Jake more. In terms of what other changes are going to happen at the back, yeah, with Christian Dean's man of the match performance, what do you do, right? So next game, Kendall's not suspended, right? So does Dean hold his spot and Kendall come in? Does Kendall come in for Dean? Which two of those three are gonna start? It's hard to see Kendall not starting because of kind of what appears to be his role in the team, his leadership role in the team, as one of the captains or vice captains or whatever language they're using to define that. But Parker hasn't done too much wrong. And Dean's had this great performance. So do you drop him right away? Do you give Parker the night off in San Jose? That's a good kind of problem I think a coach wants to have.
It is, and they're also going to have one eye on the Tigres game on the Tuesday. So we might, for a spell, see an MLS lineup and a Champions League lineup. I think Williams will start in San Jose, and I think he will save Nowinski for the Champions League game. I also think Dean will start in San Jose beside Parker, and they'll save Kendall for coming in for the Champions League game as well. It's, as you say, it's a nice thing to have. Teixeira didn't do that much tonight, and I think he thrives best in the Champions League, so I would kind of drop him and maybe save him for the Champions League. Montero, you want to try and have him start in that game in Tigres?
Yeah, I think. I hear what you're saying. It will be interesting to see how they juggle that with wanting the game away. The first leg of the semifinal in the Champions League is huge, and it's huge on not just on the field. It's huge off the field. They need to come back from Mexico with that second game, with hope for that second leg. Not just because they want to go through and all that kind of stuff, but off the field, you don't want to come back. You don't want to have people waiting to buy tickets, and then that game puts the two-legged series or out of touch, or what feels like out of touch, and then you end up with, you know, a crowd like they had in New Jersey kind of thing. And so I think that you're right. Yeah, there will be some prioritizing, and it will be interesting to see what happens. I think you might not see our new number nine start in San Jose because they're saving him for Mexico. He might be held back.
Just quickly rattle through some tweets here. So Tracy James Clark, she was saying, or they were saying, that's at Tracy James Clark on Twitter. Oh my God, Freddie, Shea, Fonzie and Bola. Go 4-4-2 with Laba and AJ, and the MLS Cup is ours. And they have Kikuta being the super sub. J_Duke says, drop Jacobson and play Mosquito, but more advanced. Joel Knutson again says, at the number 10 role, Breck Shea staying in the wing, or is Montero's new future forward partner going to be Breck Shea? Are we going to see a Shea Montero front two?
It's really weird because how much has Breck Shea played as an out-and-out striker before this?
I don't think that much. I mean, I know him as a left winger. That's what I think of him as. Obviously, he had 2 years at left back, but he's talked and he said that he has played a couple of times as an out-and-out striker. I just don't, as we talked about, I don't think his touch is there to be able to do that. I think he's better with the ball at his feet running than trying to bring the ball down or trying to control it. And we saw that tonight. He struggled big time with some of the balls that came in.
Yeah, I think he's eventually, when we look back on the season, going to be used more on the left wing. And Freddie Montero and Kikuta Mane and the like are going to be played through the middle. And it might look more like that, the 4-4-2 that you were just mentioning there. But again, how does that solve the lack of creative problems that we were talking about in the match tonight, right? You know, if you read through the tweets there, Steve Pander talks about how, yeah, we need to have our creativity come from the flanks. And then John Humphreys counters that with, but teams have kind of figured us out. For the last couple of years, the teams know they have to shut down our wingers. So you saw tonight, you saw Alfonso being double teamed. Right, you saw them know that the greatest possibility of chances being created were going to come from those wide spots, and so it's really difficult without another midfield option. It's really difficult without having more forward play from one of those two in the double shield. And I know I'm going to sound biased, and maybe it's just the hoodie I'm wearing at the moment, but we miss a Gershon Kofi who had some ability to get forward. I know you, Michael, you'll probably counter with his consistency in getting forward. It was an issue.
Yep, but I can just go and play some old podcasts. And
there, exactly.
It saves me speaking.
But I think we really have been missing that. I think last year we missed it defensively, and I think right now we're missing kind of it a number number eight, more of the box to box kind of person, because we don't have creativity coming from the middle of the park.
So just rattle through some more tweets here. Talking about John Humphreys at LWO04, he sees Laba as a shutdown sub and he thinks that would fit his skill set perfectly in a 4-1-4-1 with the back four of Jacobson. Like, you've got the back four, then you've got AJ and Shea together, and then Nico, Bola, Davies and Montero. He also goes on to say that he doesn't think the Whitecaps do well because of that double shield. And it's something we've talked about a lot. Too many cooks in the kitchen. He feels Nico, though, is a good harasser. And Jay Duke counters that by saying he'd be willing to see it, especially against teams like Philly, who don't particularly have good attackers in the middle. But clearly Robbo is going back to tactics of a solid defence and hitting on the counter. So I expect a lot off the double shield.
Well, Jay did mention that earlier, too. He wouldn't mind seeing Nico next to Labba, but a little bit higher up. And it was kind of interesting that we didn't try something more aggressive tonight, one, being at home, and two, yeah, playing against Philly, which there's a lot of question marks about how Philly, you know, what Philly's going to look like this year.
Yeah. So we've kind of rambled on so far for over an hour, but we've still got a little bit more to bring you. So what we're going to do now is my favourite section of the show. So as regular listeners will know, that means Wavelength. And for those who haven't heard it before, Wavelength is where we just play you a football tune. And this week's tune, it's a football-themed tune. You could argue that although it's a football-themed tune, it's only the chorus that is football-themed. Anyway, I'm waffling. It's from 1980. It's by a Scottish artist called B.A. Robertson. It's called Knocked It Off, and it's from his album Initial Success. And it's basically just a song about football, fame, the trappings of fame, and everything that goes with it. So this is B.A. Robertson, Knocked It Off.
And I'm an overnight sensation, the king of rock.
Available for parties, bar mitzvahs and charities. Do another session, I'll be carried off. I have my creativity, think of my sensitivity. You know I really love my art.
I think you're a boring.
Knocked it off, yeah, I knocked it off. While I was sitting in the corner with my tracksuit off, I was hoping I'd be playing, but I never thought I'd win in the game.
Knocked it off,
yeah, I knocked it off. While I was standing in the goal, I won the ball that crossed. I thought I'd have a go and shoot it, but I never thought I'd put it away. Still the same civilian, even talk to me pop, I'm happy to be playing. What's that you're saying? There's gotta be a limo to take me down the shops. Tell them they can stuff it, I'm not about to rough it in some Granada gear, I was taught by the pops. Pop folk are fickle when they get a little tickle, and they get a little sick when they get a little flop.
I knocked it off, you knocked it off.
Well, I was sitting in the corner with my tracksuit off, but I was hoping I'd be playing, but I never thought I'd win in the game.
Hey!
P.A. Robertson there with Knocked It Off from his album Initial Success. I'm claiming that as a football song. Zach completely disagrees with that. But during that, he's got, what's that got to do with football? It's like, listen to the chorus, man.
And then I did, and you're right. There's a tie into football there.
Yeah, next week is going to be a Wavelength special, so expect lots of songs from Half Man, Half Biscuit, I Ludicrous, Serious Drinking. Have to have Frank Sidebottom in there.
Can I bring some stuff?
Is it football related?
Totally.
Okay, then yeah.
All right.
Let's go for
are
it.
Does it have to be in English?
I think it would really help, yeah. Who knows? I might even play my favourite Swiss punk band, Vanilla Muffins, again, since we kind of balls that up when we're doing our live Mixler podcast. So we're going to wrap this up pretty soon because I'm convinced when I go out, my car is going to have been towed. So we'll see if that happens. Just before we go, a couple of things. So Whitecaps, next game at San Jose. There's some interesting results so far this weekend. Well, it's over now in MLS. And San Jose kind of looked more impressive than I thought they were going to look. When we did our MLS predictions, which you can find on aftn.ca, pretty much our whole team had San Jose and Minnesota either 10th or 11th in the West. But they definitely looked a little bit better than I was expecting. First game, though, so you maybe can't read too much into it.
That match wasn't a great football match, from what I remember. I mean, the goal was brilliant. The celebration was nice. But the match itself didn't really... I watched probably too much football this weekend, getting ready for this. And it being the first MLS weekend and MLS Live, and the games were on TV.
I was at two VMSL Division II Cup games.
Of course you were. So, yeah, I didn't – that game –
they were more entertaining than what we saw tonight in a lot of ways. But anyway.
That match didn't stand out to me, but the goal was brilliant. It feels like it's a Dominic Kinnear team, right? And so I think we know what to expect going into this game. So I think we just need a good week of preparation. There's going to be a plan for who's going to play in this game, who's going to play in Mexico.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure as well they're just going to fly from San Jose to Mexico as well, which does bugger up the hope I had of them putting on a charter flight that I could hop onto. Unless I jumped down to San Jose.
Yeah, you never know.
I was expecting Curva Collective or the Southsiders to get a charter flight on for the fans. You've let me down, lads.
Yeah. It's like usually like 40 grand for a charter flight, so...
You can't afford that?
Well, I'm sure one of us could, but I don't know if anyone is willing to front the money.
Well, I'm sure if Greg Carefoot is listening to this, he would love to put on a charter flight for the fans.
Well, just say it's for the residency team.
Yeah. Talking of the residency team, they were in action today in the snow. Do I actually have the scores, so maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that. Another team that was in action this past weekend, WFC2, played their first preseason friendly on Friday night up here at UBC. And 2-0 win. Declan Wynn, he got the first goal in the first half. And if you missed our chat with Declan Wynn, it's on aftn.ca. Really good chat with the Kiwi international who's back and eager to impress this year, hopefully to catch the eye of the first team. Second goal came from Ryan Dillon, a guy that we've watched a lot of times up at SFU. So he's on trial with Whitecaps 2 just now. So can't do much better when you're on trial than to bang the ball in the back of the net on your debut. So it's going to be interesting to see how well they do. They've got two more preseason friendlies coming up. This Friday, I believe, is up at SFU. And then they also play the Fraser Valley Soccer League All-Stars the next midweek. So hopefully we're going to get out to that. But anyway, that's it for this episode of the show. I had more stuff I was planning on playing, but we've kind of waffled on a little bit too much. So Tim Parker's bucket list that we'd put together is going to have to wait for another show.
Oh.
It's a bit disappointing. But yeah, that's it for this episode. So just before we go, Zach, just let everyone know where they can find us online.
Yeah, you can find me online on Twitter in the Twitterverse. It's at Zachary AM, and I'm part of the movement that's called Curva Collective.
And my name is Michael McCall. You can find me on Twitter at AFTN Canada. Read all our stuff, aftn.ca. Away from the numbers. I'm also the Whitecaps beat reporter for MLSsoccer.com, so check out my stuff on that as well. And I'm also the Western Conference reporter for USLsoccer.com. Anyway, thank you for being part of this. It's been a little bit of a hit and miss show at times. We'll get a little bit better with these buttons. It's the first live show we've done. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. I know there was a little bit of dead air, which is a huge no-no when you're on the radio, so we're going to kind of work on that. It's just a little bit strange pushing the buttons up and down. We're going to work on that. Watch out for our podcast if you missed all of the show, or just download it anyway, because our podcast numbers have gone way down since we started the live show. But until next time, thanks for listening. Take care, and mon the Caps.
Going to your first match is an experience you never forget. The atmosphere of what's going on around the pitch looks beautiful, and you always look and go, wow, I'd love to play here one day. If you get the bug, it's going to stay with you for life.